Shalom, I'm Rabbi Stephen Sachs. Cheat your way into heaven. Yom Kippur, Yizkor 5779. It's back to school. Remember being nervous about having to take a test and literally praying that you'd pass it? But now imagine that the teacher distributed a study guide with the questions which will appear on the test. Undoubtedly, now you feel more confident about your chances of passing the test. Well, my friends, the good news is the teacher has already distributed the questions that will appear on your final exam, the admissions test to qualify for Olam Haba, the world to come. According to the Talmud, the exam will be made up of the following six questions. 1. Did you conduct your business faithfully? 2. Did you set a fixed time to study Torah? 3. Did you participate in the commandment to be fruitful and multiply? 4. Did you anxiously anticipate the redemption? 5. Did you engage in the pursuit of wisdom? 6. When you learned Torah, did you infer one thing from another? Let's look at these questions now. When we think about Jewish life, we tend to think about mitzvot commandments, which make Jews distinct, such as Shabbat and Kashrut. Yet surprisingly, the first question, did you conduct your business with emunah faithfully, focuses on neither. The point the Talmud is making is that it's not enough to be a one-tablet Jew. The two luchot, tablets which comprise the Atzeret HaDibrot, Ten Commandments, are distinct from each other. The first tablet deals with mitzvot, ben adam, v'makom, commandments between man and God. The second deals with mitzvot, ben adam, v'chavero, between man and his fellow. By beginning with a question which focuses on interpersonal relationships, the Talmud is reminding us that the way we deport ourselves and our relationships with others is just as important as how we deport ourselves and our relationships with God. It should be noted that the very same page of Talmud which contains these six questions also contains the famous story of the individual who told Hillel that he would convert to Judaism if Hillel could teach him the entire Torah as he stood al regel achat, on one foot. Though this individual very well may have been mocking Hillel, Hillel responded, "That which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow." That's the entire Torah. All of the rest is an elaboration on that one point. Hillel tells him now, go learn. In other words, the goal of the Torah is to teach us how to treat our fellow well. You may be surprised that Hillel did not mention God in a summation of the Torah, but if you stop and think about it, it makes perfect sense. The Torah begins by teaching us that humanity was created b'tzelem Elohim, in the image of God. That's to say, we are all created by the same God and all his children. Therefore, by treating your fellow well, you are treating God's other children well. Parents love when you treat their children well. You want to make somebody happy? Don't give them a gift. Give their kid a gift. You want to make your creator happy? Treat somebody else well. By conducting our business with emunah faithfully, we also demonstrate our trust in God. Because we trust in God to care for us, we don't have to cheat in business. Now, of course, we all understand the value of honesty, but simply being honest is not enough. You could be quite upfront with somebody about how you intend to take advantage of them because they're in a vulnerable situation. Honest Abe himself, when speaking about character, didn't focus on honesty. He said, if you want to test a man's character, give him power. Unfortunately, this past year's endless stream of stories about clergy of different faiths abusing children and about figures such as Harvey Weinstein reminded us just how easy it is to fall into that trap and abuse a position of power. For that reason, Pirkei Avot teaches that the one who is truly strong is the one who, hakovesh et yitziro, conquers his own desire. True strength is not measured by your ability to impose your will on others, but to conquer your own yetzer hara, evil inclination, that tells you it's okay to take advantage of others. The most frequently cited mitzvah command in the Torah has nothing to do with kashrut or Shabbat observance. It's the command to treat the vulnerable, the orphan, the widow, and the stranger with kindness. The first question of conducting business faithfully can be boiled down to another. Were you a mensch, a good person? Let's look at the second question. Did you fix a time to study Torah? Now, we could understand why we were asked if we studied Torah. After all, the word Torah means teaching, and we would be wise to study the teachings of our Creator. But why are we asked if we had a fixed time to study Torah? Upon reflection, it's obvious. As we know, when we simply say we're going to get around to doing something eventually, when we have the time, it often never happens. We become busy and it just doesn't happen. This question is reminding us of the importance of prioritizing Torah study. And here at Adas Kodeshel Emeth, it's easy to do. You can join us for Parsha and Pizza on Wednesday nights, or for our new class, Sacks on Sacks, in which I'll be leading a study of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks' new curriculum, 10 Paths to God, on Thursday evenings. By doing so, you'll be able to answer two more questions affirmatively. Question 5, did you engage in the pursuit of chachma, wisdom? And question 6, did you engage in the pursuit of da'at, knowledge? Studying with others helps you to increase your chachma, wisdom, because you learn from others. Pirkei Avot famously teaches us, Asalacha rav ukanelaha chaver, accept a teacher upon yourself and acquire a friend for yourself. It also helps you to increase your da'at, knowledge, which is defined as being able to infer one thing from another, because you'll have the opportunity to deduce practical teachings from our ancient texts and apply them to your lives. Question 3 is a difficult question. Did you participate in the commandment to be fruitful and multiply? It's difficult because, for a variety of reasons, many people never have children. Does this mean that they're doomed to fail the final exam? The word for parent in Hebrew is horeh or horah, and the word for teacher is moreh or morah. It's not an accident. They sound similar. They have the same shoresh, the same root, and again, it's not an accident. The point is that you become a parental figure to somebody by teaching them. Parenting isn't an issue of biology. It's an issue of raising someone. This question is really asking, did you enhance the lives of others by sharing your wisdom and knowledge with them? We now come to our final question. Did you anxiously anticipate the geula, the redemption? And my friends, we've now come full circle. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we learned that the Jewish response to an imperfect world is tikkun olam, repairing the world. We shouldn't just anticipate geula, redemption. We must do our part to bring it about. And we can start right here and right now by ensuring the well-being of our beloved Adas Kodeshel Emeth. Sure, the future is uncertain, but that's never dissuaded us Jews before. Ask your non-Jewish friends what percentage of the population of America is Jewish. They'll probably guess 5, maybe even 10%. The truth is, we make up less than 3%. Why do people think we're so much more numerous than we really are? Because our contributions to society are so great. In fact, there's a prohibition on counting Jews directly. Why? Because if we were to simply look at our small numbers, we'd become discouraged. So instead, in ancient Israel, people were counted indirectly through the payment of their half shekel yearly tax. The message is, it's not enough to be passively counted. You must stand up and contribute. And when we all stand together and contribute, our contributions far exceed our small numbers. The Jewish people as a whole, and we here at Axe, should remember what Moshe said in his farewell address to the nation. Not because you are more numerous than all the peoples did Hashem desire to choose you, for you are the smallest of all peoples. Yes, the future is uncertain, and yes, we are small. But our contributions to this community are Herculean, invaluable, and irreplaceable. We provide the community at large with multiple nights of adult education on a weekly basis and with our annual AKSE Academy, daily services, a communal standard for kashrut through the supervision of the Vod HaKashrut of Delaware, which includes a kosher Pesach deli at ShopRite. We provide opportunities for conversions which are widely accepted in the Jewish world. Our members are among the most active in Israel advocacy, and most importantly, we provide the community with a welcoming, inclusive, centrist community committed to integrating Torah values into the modern world. And these are things that this community simply cannot afford to lose. You do not want to picture this community without AKSE. Demographic realities have certainly changed, so I can't promise you a return to the good old glory days of Gewurz. But by standing here together, we can take control of our future, and we can create new good old days. We may be about to recite Yizkor, but let's not forget that Judaism celebrates life and hope. Our song is HaTikvah, the hope. Over Rosh Hashanah, somebody who requested to remain anonymous stated, AKSE not what your shul can do for you, but what you can do for your shul. Now that's the spirit. So now you have the questions to the test ahead of time. When people ask you what your rabbi spoke about over Yom Kippur, you can tell them he told you to cheat. That is, to cheat your way into heaven. You can explain to them that your maker expects you to do so, for he's placed the test questions in your hands ahead of time. Now, make sure you're ready to answer.